Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. The time is 9:31 a.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me at the table this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good morning, Madam
Chair. Senator Michicki.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good morning.
We have a full complement. We are in Juneau, Alaska, in Alaska's State Capitol, room 532. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? On today's agenda, we have confirmation hearings. I'd just like to notify the committee that Wendy Lawrence has resigned from the State Assessment Review Board, so she's been removed from our agenda today. The first person that we'll consider is for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority Board. I'd like to invite Christopher Cook to the microphone. Identify yourself for the record.
Right here.
Yes, please. Either chair. Your name for the record and then any opening comments for the committee to consider for your appointment to the Mental Health Trust Board.
Thank you very much, Senator McKinnon. My name is Christopher Cook. I'm an appointee to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority Board, subject to confirmation, and I'm happy to be here with you today. I don't have any lengthy prepared statement. I did send a letter around to individual legislators several weeks ago, briefly outlining my interest and qualifications in the Mental Health Trust Authority Board. I've maintained that interest for several years, and I feel that my almost 50 years of experience in Alaska is one important part of my qualifications. Also, I've worked and lived throughout Alaska, and primarily in rural Alaska, as both an attorney with doing public interest law for Alaska Legal Services and as a private practitioner, doing a wide variety of work, and also was a Superior Court judge in Bethel for 10 years. Now I've retired from active practice of law, and in the course of just sort of planning the next stage of my life, I became interested in the Trust Authority and its board. And I thought that that would keep me busy and out of trouble, and or maybe get me into trouble. I don't know. I thought it would be a way to contribute to Alaska, which I dearly love, and it's my home. It's the home of my children and grandchildren, and I want to do something to make a contribution. And I also know that we have, serious and longstanding problems in the mental health area, which involve a wide variety of issues and concerns. And I hope that I can help address some of those issues and make some improvements through the Trust Authority and their work. In fact, I was really pleasantly surprised to learn, I was out in Bethel earlier this week, Senator Hoffman's home area, and which was also my home for over 25 years, and went to some events with Alaska Legal Services, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year and is the place where I started my legal work long ago, came across a program that is actually funded by the Trust Authority. Talked with an attorney there who is a young attorney who is working on what they call, seems like an elaborate name, they call it holistic defense. But what it means is a civil attorney is placed with the public defender agency to work with public defender clients on civil issues that they may have. And as soon as they described the program, it was just like a light bulb going on, of course. People who encounter the criminal justice system and get public defender representation, often they have a lot of other issues and concerns. They may be veterans with PTSD. They may be people who have various disabilities, they may have, you know, educational deficits or need work training and that sort of thing. So public defender will never have time to work on those kinds of issues for their clients, and that's not their job. But the civil attorneys can, and they may be able to make changes in these folks' lives that will help them get out of the revolving door of the criminal justice system and improve their lives and those of their families. So those kinds of things make me really, you know, kind of confirm my feeling that the work of the trust authority is very worthwhile, and I think I could make a contribution to it, and I think my Alaska experience, especially my judicial and legal experience, will be an asset, I hope, to the performance of that job. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I greatly appreciate that your grandfather and your grandchildren are Hoffmans. But aside from that, what do you think you could offer in the mental, as a trustee of the Mental Health Trust Authority, to the people of Western Alaska, both Northern and Western Alaska, since you're the one that will have the most experience in that area? We do have many problems, social issues and other problems, so I wonder if you might expound upon that to Mr. Cook.
Thank you. I'd be happy to try. I think when I think of the Mental Health Trust Authority and the constituency that you mentioned, the folks in rural Alaska, folks in the Bethel area, I see the biggest need there as one of information and access. As with a lot of agencies, most of the not only the trust authority, but the agencies that that are constituents of the trust are headquartered in places like Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and so rural outreach is always a challenge and always a problem for people who live in rural Alaska to know what's available and to access those services. Of course, there's also a big communication gap that may not exist in other places of people just understanding the state structure, understanding the language, the terminology. So I see, hope to see and encourage programs that will help provide more access to rural Alaskans who qualify as beneficiaries of the trust, people with developmental disabilities, people dealing with issues of age and Alzheimer's and dementia, people who have chronic substance abuse problems, people who suffer traumatic brain injury, and the other categories of beneficiaries that it's more difficult for rural Alaskans to learn about the services that can be available or can assist with those kinds of problems. As with that holistic defense program that I mentioned earlier.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other questions from committee members? Senator Bonham-Hoff.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cook, for being here today. And you clearly have familiarity with the mental health challenges and programs that are available through your work and your experience in Bethel. Thank you. But I was just curious if you have an opinion and perspective on the recent direction of the board to with their investment decisions and to invest more in real estate and so forth. So are you aware of that, and what are your thoughts on that?
I'm somewhat aware of it, although the subject is complex. And what I would, as I look at that issue, I think it's important to not lose sight of the fundamental purpose of the Mental Health Trust's land base, which is to provide revenue and support for the programs that advance the comprehensive mental health plan of Alaska. So the purpose is not just to own, manage, and profit from real estate. It's to do those activities for the benefit of the beneficiaries and to support the programs that that serve those beneficiaries. So that would be uppermost in my mind. I know there are some issues and controversies concerning the management of the trust lands, and those are being addressed in a number of ways, both by review through the legislative budget and audit process, and in some clarifying legislation that may be proposed. So I think I can make a contribution in those areas. I don't have I don't really know enough or have any set opinions about, a precise remedy or change that I would advocate. But again, this is like a lot of things that the trust touches on. This is going to involve some important legal issues, and I would hope that my background and experience would contribute to that dialogue.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Cook, for joining Senate Finance today. Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
In accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Finance Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority Board of Trustees, Christopher Cook. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during any further sessions.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Cook. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. The next item before Senate Finance is the confirmation of Mary K. Hughes. Ms. Hughes is unable to be here with us. She can come at a later date if you so desire. Her resume is included. She is currently a Alaska Board of Region already. I look to committee members first to see if we need to reschedule for Ms. Hughes before us. With not, we will move on to Karen Perdue, invite Ms. Perdue to the microphone. Ms. Perdue, if you would identify yourself for the record, provide brief opening comments, and then allow the committee an opportunity to pose any questions they might have. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Karen Perdue. For the record, I reside in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I spent my early years growing up in the interior and have lived throughout the state, including in Juneau, for many years, and traveled extensively. I just can't I want to give you a few highlights of my qualifications and my interests for the Board of Regents, but I will be brief. But I can't move forward without acknowledging one of my mentors, which was Senator Ted Stevens. I went to work for him early in my career in Washington, D.C., and he was a great mentor to me. And I returned to Alaska from D.C. To work for Terry Miller, who was also a great mentor to me, and from North Pole, which was from my community. But I began my role in state government in the 80s, and I served for four governors, and culminating in my 8 years as Commissioner of Health and Social Services. During that time, oil was $9 a barrel, and I certainly learned at that time the importance of motivating and working with people who are very committed to their mission during financial difficulty. It is really important to appreciate the people who commit their life, not really for money, but for the mission of the agency. I had the opportunity to return to Fairbanks in 2001, where I spent a decade working as the Associate Vice President at the University of Alaska with Mark Hamilton, primarily focusing on industry, responding to industry needs in the healthcare field. During that time, I worked with faculty to develop the nursing model that we have today, which is a distance-delivered site from a main campus, a very highly accredited, very successful program that is now in at least, I think, 16 communities. I also was involved in working with virtually every campus at that time on many different other kinds of academic planning. I learned the importance of the University of Alaska in economic development, and in preparing for the future, in trying to reverse the brain drain that we have in our state. And I really came to appreciate the role, obviously, of students, because the students can go elsewhere. They have gone elsewhere, of course, to other states, but they can go elsewhere and stay in Alaska. They can go online to get their education. And students are very skilled consumers. They want to get the best of the university. They want an ease of transfer between the different parts of the university. They have legitimate expectations for quality and for good course sequencing. I have worked in large institutional systems, but probably more importantly, I've been on boards. I was on the Denali Commission and Alaska Housing Finance, for instance. Probably as relevant, I was the CEO of a board of CEOs, hospital administrators. So I had 36 members of my board, and I was the CEO. So I have learned the difference between management and governance from both sides. The Board of Regents is one of the few boards named in the Constitution, and the university framers, or our framers of our state, I think intended this board to be a powerful oversight of a one-state university. That is the statement in the Constitution, a one-state university. And it outlines two things that the Board of Regents needs to do. One is to provide guidance and to hire a president. And in hiring the president, I think the board has an obligation to work in tandem with the president to administer a system, and so it is a partnership. It's no secret that the university is facing a huge financial pressure and declining enrollment at the same time. The regents and the president will be making many tough decisions, but I think in all of this, we need to manage our situation in a way that our students believe that they will have in the future a quality institution that provides a quality education and world-class research. If we lose the confidence of our students, then we lose enrollment, and then we are back in a deficit situation. So in conclusion, many have asked me why I wanted this assignment at this time. I am retired, and I have some time to devote back to our state. Our university is celebrating its 100th year, and I think Judge Wickersham would be pleased to see the breadth of the university that was established the first year it opened with 5 students. So we now have 30,000 students. And I think I'd like to meaningfully participate in building and making sure this university makes this transition at this time so that it survives for another 100 years. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Perdue.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Perdue, what do you see the role of rural campuses and what they play in the university system today and in the near future?
Thank you, Senator Hoffman, Madam Chair. One of the things, one principle that I learned at the University of Alaska working on distance delivery and with rural campuses is this concept that students who are place committed is an asset. In other words, you can look at a student as place bound. You can say, well, that student lives in Bethel and they can't come to Anchorage, so that's the way it is. There are many students who can't uproot their life and move to an urban setting. But if you begin to look at a student as place committed, in other words, they're going to practice, they're going to be a teacher, they're going to be a nurse, they're going to be, you know, whatever that profession is in their community, then you can start to think about ways to deliver education to that student. And I think what the University of Alaska has proven is that they can deliver complex information in a very much innovative ways, not only distance, but evenings, different, you know, intensive cohorts, things that allow people to pursue their education while maintaining their lifestyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions from committee members? Ms. Perdue, could you comment on strategic pathways? We have had some testimony in some of the budget hearings regarding strategic pathways.
Yes, Madam Chair. Strategic Pathways, as I understand it, began a year and a half ago as a framework for the President and the Board of Regents to take on many areas of study. Some of them were administrative and some of them were academic. And my feedback has, there's been a lot of feedback, of course, but my feedback that I received at the Board of Regents meeting in March was that the academic areas have been, some have been successful and some have been more problematic, but the administrative areas of strategic pathways have been quite successful. That is enrollment, IT, those kinds of backbone services. So my feedback is that the strategic pathways process has changed to allow more input in from various campus stakeholders, including faculty and students. And so I would say that Strategic Pathways has evolved and has tried to address some of the process issues that have been raised.
Thank you. Other questions from committee members? Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair, in accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Finance Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. University of Alaska Board of Regents, Karen Perdue. Mary Kay Hughes. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion carries. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. I would like to acknowledge this a moment ago. A current trustee for the Mental Health Trust Board was in the room, and he's departed. Trustee Larry Noreen resides in Eagle River, and so I've known him over the course of his service on the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and I just wanted to acknowledge his service to the people of Alaska and to those who benefit from the work that has been done at the Trust through his involvement and certainly other board members. I just wanted to say that publicly. We also were approached during the brief recess while we were signing the papers to acknowledge one of our members, Senator Michicki, had helped raise a significant amount of money for the food bank here in Juneau, and so I didn't want that to go unnoticed. It just wasn't the appropriate time to come into the middle of confirmation hearings to make that announcement, and she has departed, so I apologize. We did have just enough time to thank Senator Michicki for, I believe he was the MC of the event, Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did serve as auctioneer, but it was a group effort. In fact, the most valuable item that was auctioned at the event was baked by the wife of the senator to my right from Bethel. So, group effort.
It was a group effort. She wanted to thank you for for your help personally, Senator Michicki, and I'm sure that we all thank your wife for the goodies that she shares and her baking talents with the rest of us. I have been notified that there is a little bit of a glitch in this afternoon's 1 o'clock meeting, and so I've been asked to inform you that 1:30 is the tentative start, as long as we have all the documents necessary to proceed on our budget conversation. So right now, 1:30 to the call of the chair for this afternoon's finance meeting. Anything else to come before the committee? Seeing none, we're adjourned.